I'd like to thank everyone for showing up. I think, as Allison was saying, I mean, if I was put in your situation, I don't know. Well, I'd probably go see Karen Finley too. You know, if I was going to go to the poetry center, go to a poetry reading. of course, I have to do this because this is my job. But you know, it's one of those strange moments. But I'd like to thank you for making that choice. But also, you know, being here when Karen Finley is here, also with part of the controversy that's attached to her and around her, reminds me just briefly of the analogy of the story that I heard once about Walt Whitman being invited to read at a college in New England. And I can't think of the name right now. But basically, he was invited by students, by the graduating students to be the speaker for the graduation ceremonies. And the reason that they invited Walt was because they thought, well, because Leaves of Grass was a real notorious book, and it was smutty, and they were hoping that he'd do something, you know, outrageous. And the way I remember reading the story was that the seniors were horribly disappointed by Whitman. He was thrilled to be invited anywhere, you know. So from his point of view, it was this wonderful, grand trip up to New England to do a reading, and people were really listening to him. And in fact, the way I remember this story, it was like Whitman's voice, at least from the reports, was a very small voice. Couldn't really hear it. And in fact, the only way that the students knew that the reading was over was when the president stood up and shook Walt's hand. You know, so from Walt's point of view, from the student's point of view, it was a real, you know, but I would have gone too if Walt had been there. So thank God nobody else was reading that day. I'm going to start off with some poems from Victims of the Latest Dance Craze. Allison was talking about the idea of playing with the metaphor of dancing, and this first poem is one of my favorites in the book. It's about learning, getting over that fear of dancing. You know, one thing you've got to learn before you dance is to get over your self-awareness of your body when you hit the dance floor. Luckily, my wife-to-be got me past that. You know, we went off to this, I remember going off to this bar in Rochester, and it was a gay bar. It was a wonderful place to dance, you know, because women can dance without getting harassed there. And no, really, that's you know, it's one of the big reasons why we went out to this place called Jim's. And also one of the great thing about dancing at Jim's, one of the great thing about dancing at Jim's was that you'd have this ability to go and dress up. You know, this is back. I don't know if you guys are probably too young to remember the glam days of rock and roll. You know, so when people would cross dress and dress up and wear all sorts, you know, eight inch, you know, high heels and spikes and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so dressing up was a great way of getting out on the dance floor and by disguising yourself and going out there and not having to worry about it. But even with the disguise, you still have to get past the point of just being able to allow yourself to be a bit of a fool. So that's catalyst is the catalyst for this poem. Miss Johnson dances for the first time. When Ophelia met the water, it was a gentle tumble of a dance, a mixed marriage of a dance. The swans were confused. She was a contradiction in terms. She was, simply put, a beautiful death. Not so with Miss Johnson, a wheat field of a girl who held her breath as she cast herself on the dance floor in a metallic blue dress at the Grange Hall on Saturday night, holding on to a skinny mechanic who knew two steps that could be shown in public. It was like being pushed off the raft by her father, the awful moment when the body believes in nothing. How ridiculous her body looked. How her brothers loved to remind her of Wharf Rat, a drowned cow. When Amelia Earhart met the water, assuming, of course, that she met the water, that the sea mistake her for a bird or flying fish. In the awkward moment, she belonged neither to sea nor air. The sea moved like Miss Johnson moves now, bobbing like a buoy at high tide, gulping mouthfuls of air as her legs learn the beat and push, and her blue dress catches the mechanic's pant leg like an undertow.